This is Stephen Strang. Welcome to my podcast. Dr. Don Colbert is a very respected doctor who is our number one author in the area of health. We've been friends for many years, and I am so grateful that he has agreed to come on my podcast to talk about what everybody's talking about, and that's the coronavirus. So you're going to want to stay tuned to hear some very practical information as this virus is spreading around the world and people have so many questions about it. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
I'm so honored to have Dr. Colbert on my podcast. I think this is the first time, and of course, I've been doing a lot of podcasts, some of them just from more of a spiritual point of view on telling people not to panic, and God has not given us a spirit of fear. But you being a medical doctor, can you give me and my listeners some advice about how we should react to what we're seeing in the media about the coronavirus?
Well, first of all, as Christians, we need to start reacting in faith and not in fear. And we need to put Psalms 91 over ourselves and our families and just read the word out loud over ourselves and our families every day, and then receive that word by faith and not live in fear. Now, as far as practical things we can do that are extremely important, from the Stanford Hospital, they had a wonderful review of some things we can do. First of all, they wanted to relieve people's fears, because if you have a runny nose or if you have a productive cough, you probably have more of a common cold or allergies. But the coronavirus pneumonia is a dry cough with no runny nose. Now realize the coronavirus is not heat resistant, and it can be killed by a temperature of 80 degrees. That's why when it gets warmer, we're going to see this virus get less and less, as well as humidity prevents the virus from staying airborne for a prolonged period of time. So that's why the warmth, the humidity, as well as UV light, a lot of light, sunlight coming through will help to kill the virus. So I'm expecting in the next 3 months and maybe sooner that this, as long as we can keep ourselves out of crowds and pretty much stay at home and away from public gatherings, then we can control this thing. But another thing real important is if someone sneezes with the coronavirus, it takes about, they say, about 10 feet before it drops to the ground. Some people are saying 3 to 6 feet, but it's really more like 10 feet before it's no longer airborne. Now, if the coronavirus can live on a surface, a metal surface, for as long as 12 hours, and some experts are saying it can live 3 days or 36, or excuse me, 1.5 days or 36 hours. So if you come in contact with any metal surface, it's important to put hand sanitizer on your hands as well as, or to wash your hands frequently, because again, it can stay on your hands and live on your hands for usually, you know, it can minutes or even an hour, but they say about 5 to 10 minutes typically. It can also survive on fabric for 6 to 12 hours. So they encourage us to wash our clothes and even our coats. Now, what I've been doing, when you touch a handle, a doorknob that everyone touches, or a sink handle, realize that that coronavirus can be on that. You just washed your hands and then you turn the sink off and then you've touched it. So it's important to use a Kleenex or a handkerchief. I just carry Kleenex with me and hand sanitizers. And I just turn the knob off and I open the door with the Kleenex and throw it in the trash. That's really important that we need to start doing. As well as not rubbing our eyes or touching our face. Now, this is why it's so important to just use your hand sanitizer, wash your hands frequently. Another important thing is drink a lot of liquids. And make sure that you drink hot liquids. Hot liquids, the virus hates heat. And so when you drink hot tea, hot coffee, warm soups, then what it prevents that virus from attaching to the throat. And you'll literally wash it down into the gut and it'll be destroyed by your own enzymes. So that's why it's important to drink frequently water every 15 minutes. and to drink as many hot liquids, because the virus loves cold. Quit drinking fluids with ice in it, because that can just, that the virus loves the cold but hates the heat. The other thing that's so important are our own body's natural antivirals. And some of the greatest antivirals in our body is in our saliva. And there's an antiviral called LL37 that's in our saliva that kills viruses. So in other words, the more saliva you have by chewing gum, preferably sugar-free gum or gum with xylitol or erythritol, then it activates your saliva that again helps to kill the virus. As well as vitamin D3 boosts antiviral activity in our body, but we need to get our vitamin D level checked and keep it at least 50 to 80, because that helps to, again, prevent the virus.
How does somebody check their vitamin D levels?
Well, they go to their doctor and we do a 25OH D3. I check all my patients' vitamin D3 levels because, in my opinion, that's our most important vitamin, and that's the vitamin that helps us maintain our immunity. And our body literally produces antivirals when we get our vitamin D optimized to 50 to 80 is ideal. But some common sense things we do that most people don't think about: when you eat sugar, you are reducing your immune function. If you eat like 100 grams of sugar, like a couple of sodas, drink sodas, a piece of cake or pie, what happens is you decrease your white blood cells' ability to effectiveness to kill viruses by 40% for 5 hours. So every time you get a hit of sugar, you're weakening your immune system. You're inviting the coronavirus in.
So that's if you're exposed to it, because just being in someone's presence with the coronavirus doesn't necessarily mean that you're exposed. And even if you're exposed, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get it unless maybe you're older or your immune system is weak.
Correct.
I'm no doctor, of course, but for years I've understood, maybe you're the one that told me, that there's enough germs floating around to make all of us sick all of the time. But if we have a strong immune system, of course, we can be exposed to those, whether it's the common cold or other things, even the flu.
Right.
If someone, the statistics that are coming out about the flu is astounding. I never really paid much attention to this, but I mean, they throw all kinds of numbers around. Apparently it varies from year to year, depending how bad flu season is, but it's like maybe 25,000 people or more die of the common flu every year. And of course, far fewer than that have died so far with the coronavirus. And the coronavirus is a type of flu, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's not that we had the H1N1, which is a new type of flu back in 2009. But the coronavirus is a unique virus in that our immune system has not been exposed to this. So people that are older are especially vulnerable. But like you said, with the flu, about 30,000 people die each year of the flu, or 20 to 30,000, but about 30 million contract the flu. But it affects mainly the very young, the very old. But with the corona, it mainly affects the elderly, especially 70 and 80-year-olds. Now, if you remember, the greatest flu was in 1918 when it killed over a million people around the world. And that was, they say it was worse than, 100 million people worldwide in 1918. And it killed more people in 24 hours or 24 weeks than AIDS has killed in 24 years. It killed more in a year than the Black Death killed in a century. But so that was the worst flu we've ever had of 1918. But again, this is nothing in comparison. But you know what kept that under control finally? We had lost control in America because of the large crowds. Finally, when they started avoiding the crowds, and the flu got under control because it mutated and became a less virulent strain.
Well, so, that's interesting. Again, so we hear that a lot of things are being canceled. So should people do that, or should we just, like yesterday, I was in a store. I don't feel any fear. In Seminole County, Florida, where I live, there's only been one case, and we don't know how serious it is, but the person hasn't died. I feel like going on life at normal. Am I being naive, or at what point should
yes.
we...
Yes, I definitely think that we should limit our crowd exposure. I would not go to real busy restaurants. You don't want to be around where people are coughing and sneezing, because that's usually how it's transmitted, on, and especially on metal surfaces. But let me just read this, because, Steve, I was kind of like you a few weeks ago, but then I just got a email from a friend of mine who has a friend in Italy, and she just wrote this, so I'd like to read it, okay?
Okay.
Just paint the picture of what's going on in Italy, because, you know, a couple of months ago, Italy was like the U.S. It had just started. But she says, I'm writing to you from Bergamo, Italy, at the heart of the coronavirus crisis. The news media in the U.S. has not captured the severity of what is happening here. I'm writing this post because each of you today, not the government, not the school district, not the mayor, each individual citizen has the chance today to take actions that will deter the Italian situation from becoming your own country's reality. The only way to stop this virus is to limit contagion, and that's limit crowd exposure. And the only way to limit contagion is for millions of people to change their behavior today. If you are in Europe or the U.S., you are weeks away from where we are today in Italy. I can hear you now. It's just a flu. It only affects old people with preconditions. There are two reasons why coronavirus has brought Italy to its knees. First, it is a flu. As a flu, it is devastating when people really get sick. They need weeks in the ICU. And second, because of how fast and effectively it spreads, there is a two-week incubation period, and many who have it never show symptoms. When Prime Minister Conte of Italy announced last night that the entire country of 60 million people would go on lockdown, the line that struck me most was, there is no more time. Because to be clear, this national lockdown is a Hail Mary. What he means is that if the numbers of contagion do not start to go down, the system in Italy will collapse. Why? Today, the ICUs in Lombardy are at capacity, more than capacity. They've begun to put ICU units in the hallways. If the numbers do not go down, the growth rate of contagion tells us that there will be thousands of people who, in a matter of weeks, 2 weeks, who will need care. What will happen when there are 100 or 1,000 people who need the hospital and only a few ICU places are left? On Monday, a doctor wrote in the paper that they have begun to have to decide who lives and who dies when the patients show up in the ER, like what is done in war. This will only get worse. There are a finite number of doctors, nurses, and medical staff, and they're getting the virus. They have also been working nonstop for days and days. What happens when the doctors, nurses, and medical staff are simply not able to care for the patients when they are not there? And finally, for those who say that this is just something that happens to old people, starting yesterday, the hospitals are reporting that younger and younger patients, 18, 40, 45, are coming in for treatment. You have a chance to make a difference and stop the spread in your country. Push for the entire office to be off work or to be at home today. Cancel birthday parties and other gatherings. Stay home as much as you can. If you have a fever, any fever, stay home. Push for school closures now. Anything you can do to stop the spread, because it is spreading in your communities. There's a two-week incubation period, and if you do these things now, you can buy your medical system time. And for those who say it's not possible to close schools and do all the things, locking down Italy was beyond anyone's imagination a week ago. Soon you will have a choice, so do what you can now. Please share with others. So that is a sobering post on Facebook. I see the potential that this could happen. Yes, as Christians, we can put Psalms 91 over us and our families, but we have to be smart. This is a novel virus. It's unprecedented what is happening in this country and around the world with this pandemic, and we cannot take this too lightly.
So let me ask you, is this the person who wrote this, is someone that you know personally?
Well, it's a friend of a friend.
So we feel that it's not what they call fake news. You think, or evaluate it for me. Do we really face that? You know, as you were reading it, I was thinking of something I heard on Tucker Carlson last night. And of course, I've not had a chance to fact check this, but, you know, they're talking about being xenophobic to comment that the, you know, this came from China. And he was quoting the mayor of Florence, Italy, somebody I don't know, who is apparently kind of politically correct. And to show that they weren't xenophobic, he was telling people to go up and hug an Asian on the street if
they see them.
And, you know, of course, they're not saying that now, but now I'd never heard of such a thing. You know, I'm not that familiar with news in Italy. And, you know,
well, that just shows that this virus is not politically correct. And if we practice political correctness, there's a strong chance you're going to get the coronavirus. Okay, so this is a very contagious virus, and our immune system is not prepared for it. We don't have any remembrance. Like with flus, our immune system adapts because it's been exposed to different flus. Yes, it mutates, but still, the immune system can recognize and start to mobilize the immune system. But this is a novel new virus, and so we've got to take extra precautions. And especially just drinking water, just drinking warm teas, just staying away from crowds, hand washing, using hand sanitizers, using a Kleenex to open doors, because it stays on metal surfaces, see, much longer. So just common sense things, and then trying to minimize our sugar intake and lowering our stress level, getting our sleep, things that are common sense. I wrote a book years ago, The Bible Cure for Flu. And colds and flu, and it's the same principles apply. Just take care of your immune system. God's put in us the most amazing immune system. All we have to do is just give it the veggies, the chicken soup, the hot fluids, the hot teas that help our immune system, the vitamin D. And then one of the most amazing things is chewing gum. Chewing gum, especially the sugar-free gum, not the gum with NutraSweet, but that activates the saliva that has one of the most powerful antivirals in our body, LL37. That's a natural antiviral.
Well, this is pretty amazing advice that you're giving. And so if people wanted to find out more information, where could they go?
Well, then go to drcolbert.com. But one thing before we leave, I'd like to just list a few other things to help, because this was in the Stanford report. The coronavirus will first infect your throat, so you'll have a sore throat for 3 to 4 days. The virus then blends into a nasal fluid that enters the trachea and then the lungs and can cause pneumonia. And this takes about 5 to 6 days. With the pneumonia comes a high fever and difficulty breathing. The nasal congestion is not like the normal kind. You feel like you're drowning. And then you should seek immediate medical attention when that occurs. Make sure your mouth and throat are moist and never dry. So take sips of water every 15 minutes. And if you don't drink enough water regularly, the virus can enter your windpipe and then into your lungs. Now, there was a Taiwan expert that provided a simple self-check that you can do every morning to make sure that the virus isn't in your lungs, even if you have it. This is what they would do. They'd say, take a deep breath, hold your breath for more than 10 seconds. If you can do that successfully without coughing or without stiffness or tightness in your chest, then you do not have the fibrosis or pneumonia. So they encourage their people in Taiwan to do that every morning in a clean environment. Now, realize where this started in China, the air quality was real poor. A lot of the patients smoked, and so they were more predisposed. And so that's why it's so important to avoid crowds. Again, I can't emphasize that more, just avoid crowds and then practice these measures that I've discussed.
You know, as I was preparing for this podcast, I did a little checking, and there were people on the internet, and of course you can never know what to believe, but they were saying that Stanford didn't actually say that kind of stuff. So how do we as an average person is
well,
an
no,
average
Stanford didn't say that, but what they said, that was from Taiwan, where they had also outbreaks. And so you're right, there's a lot of news out there, and with China especially, oh my goodness, the fake news in China and the government cover up, and trying to blame it now on the U.S. and not on themselves.
It's
so
amazing.
There's a lot of fake news. So there's a lot of politicization of this virus. And so we can't be politically correct. We've got to just practice good hygiene and crowd control, or else it could be like this 1918 virus, flu virus, that killed over 100 million people around the world. So we definitely don't want that to happen.
Of course not. And just getting back to the holding the breath, which I did, by the way, while I was listening to you, that mainly just shows that you don't have something going on in your lungs. It's not really
correct.
A test that you don't have coronavirus.
Correct. Exactly right. But what happens with corona, it starts with a sore throat, then it moves to the trachea, then it goes to the lungs. So when they have that sore throat, they're about 4 to 6 days away from it reaching the lungs. So they do this test. Once it goes to the lungs, it can cause pneumonia and fibrosis in the lungs, and then they can die. So that's why it's so important to take measures now before that happens. But if you have the coronavirus or the sore throat, then the next step, it can go in your lungs, and then you're in trouble because there's not really a good treatment for it.
Well, this is very interesting information. We're all having to decide how to protect ourselves and our families and, in my instance, my employees. So I'll give you the last word, and also tell us again your website so people could get more information. And, of course, they could go online to get that book, The Bible Cure for the Flu.
Oh, well, first of all, my website's drcolbert.com. And the word I'd like to leave everyone, listen, this is not forever. It's about 6 to 12 weeks. If we can just pretty much avoid crowds and do these measures, 6 to 12 weeks, you'll see this thing turn around, especially with the warmth coming in with the spring and summer and increased humidity. And then do the most important thing. Live in faith, walk in faith, put in Psalms 91, read the whole chapter around you and your family, and believe God and watch this thing pass us. No plague will come nigh you, no plague will come near your dwelling place. And this is a plague. And that's a promise in the Word, and He looks over His Word and honors His Word and performs His Word. So we have to just stand in faith and believe His Word and speak it out and declare it. And then watch this thing pass by us, just like the death angel passed over the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And the firstborn of the Egyptians died. Well, guess what? This plague will pass over the Christians if we apply this.
Very good. And we'll leave it there. And thank you, Dr. Don Colbert, for being my guest today on the Strang Report. And thank you to my listeners for tuning in. God bless you.
Thank you, Steve. God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.